brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Results Matter, brought to us by our good friends at Burr and Foreman. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well, man, and results really do matter, but sometimes process matters as well, and a big thing going on for us in terms of process, we have our mixer this evening over at Concourse Athletic Club.
That's right, the Business Radio X mixer will be at the Concourse Athletic Club, where we have all of our hosts, guests, friends, and family all attend to hang out and kind of get to know each other a little better.
And we typically have, what, 100, 150 people show up, and we typically have some pretty good food and a little drink and get a chance to catch up. What I enjoy is our sponsors and our hosts, they'll get together and they'll trade stories and sometimes share a little information on really good, interesting guests. And I have a feeling we're going to get a chance to do that this evening as well after today's segment.
You know we will.
So in today's segment, I am delighted to announce that we are going to have with us sales manager with ACR2 Solutions, Miss Deborah Steen. How you doing, Deborah?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here this morning.
Well, we are delighted to have you. ACR2 Solutions, what is the core business? What are you out there doing for folks, and who are these folks? Who is it that you guys are serving?
Well, ACR2 is really ACER2, and it stands for Automated Compliance Reporting. We specialize in the HIPAA risk assessments in the medical market, but we go across all the infrastructure of America that needs security, like the banking, the nuclear power plants. I specialize personally in the healthcare.
HIPAA, and that is a big acronym for something to do with health records and privacy and all that stuff.
That's
right?
Correct.
So what does it stand for?
It's health information portability practices. So
now that means that if I'm a consumer of healthcare, there's information about me that my doctor knows that I don't want everybody to know, and they have a responsibility to keep it private?
They do, and healthcare has the most more information than any other entity that's under security. Banking just has your account numbers, but under healthcare, they have your insurance ID, so now I can become you and have a hip replacement and then transfer it back.
Oh, so somebody could actually take over my health identity?
That's correct. It's already happened.
It's already happened. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a little frightening.
It is a little frightening. So your customer is the doctor, the physician practice, the hospital, or?
Well, we have a single provider solution. When we go to an enterprise solution all the way to a mega enterprise, so we service practices, hospitals, and now with the hospitals, they're having to also take control of their subcontractors and their business associates.
So they're responsible for something that their business associates might do or not do as well? Is that
up to 1.5 per incident?
Wow. That could even hurt an organization like ours, I would think, 1.5.
That's million. Okay?
So do they all know that they need the help and they have to get it? This is not a discretionary item here. If you're a physician's practice, a hospital, you have to put something in place that is going to protect you, right? Are you really exposed?
It's required, number one, under the omnibus rule that came out this year. Before the omnibus rule came out, anybody going for electronic health records, meaningful use and attesting and receiving stimulus money, core item 15 stated you had to do a risk assessment and it laid out the guidelines. A lot of the companies, came out saying we meet meaningful use, but they forgot to look in the item and the content that said, here's something separate from the vendor. So there's a lot of providers that did not do that. And if they actually completed a risk assessment, a lot of them used a checklist, which if you go to the CMS website, it specifically says you cannot. It's got to be a calculated risk. It has elements that have to be checked.
Well, it's a good thing that these regulations don't change that often, right?
Well, the regulations, I'm 5'5", and they're taller than me. And they really came out in 96 and people jumped on board, okay? And then came, you know, like Y2K and people started trying to fix all their equipment. So there was new regulations that came out in 2003. But then you had, you know, hospitals trying to get new EHRs and looking at, you know, what was coming down the line as far as requirements to get stimulus money. So it's been pushed to the side. So, I mean, in cold calling that I've done and marketing, people are, some of them don't even know what the word HIPAA is.
We didn't until a minute ago. I mean, I've heard the acronym, and I knew it had something to do with that, but yeah, I bet.
But that's okay, because you're not an office manager or, you know, a facility that should really, you know, be training people.
And, right.
It's amazing. So my main focus is to get the word to the doctors and to their attorneys. And, you know, attorneys, if they're looking maybe at a malpractice lawsuit, they're looking at patient health information. So they're you know, they're business associates. Of the covered entity, which is the doctor.
Which puts them at risk for that 1.5 we
correct.
Talked about.
That's
all
correct.
Right, the product service itself that Acer provides, it's software, it's just smart people like you, it's some kind of combination. What exactly are they providing?
Well, number one, it's people that are smarter than I am that wrote it. So most of my people are, you know, multi-certified in security areas. We originally started in the banking. It is a software as a service, so it's a web-based solution. You don't have to worry about security as far as PHI out there, because the only thing we're doing is keeping up with your risk assessments. So the information is entered into the system. It is all crosswalked back to the National Institute of Standard Technology, who wrote all the requirements that are taller than I am. And all the auditors are trained on NIST, so we thought that was the best way to do it. It's not our opinion. It came straight from their rules. So it's all built into the software. The software will do about 15,000 calculations. Now, you can see that a checklist probably can't do all that.
Right.
Nor is it legal.
So now, is there any regulation or any bit of misinformation that you see most commonly when you're talking to these doctors and attorneys?
Well, the biggest, you know, miscommunication was originally the meaningful use. So you have a lot of physicians that have attested to the stimulus funds for stage one. And we're now going, we still have some providers and that are going for stage one and stage two coming up. So under stage one, you still have to have that risk assessment. If they've already attested, they may have used a source, even maybe a source that was paid by the government to help the physicians that used a checklist. So I would say make sure that the risk assessment that you completed is a calculated risk. If you'll check with me, I'll be happy to provide you with the links to the, you know, government websites that give you the requirements in detail.
So how does this work exactly from a sales perspective? Your role, you're sales manager, and my guess is you probably wear a lot of hats at an organization like this. I mean, you can't just knock on the door and say, hey, Mr. Physician, let me talk to you about these things. Or can you? How do you go about having this kind of conversation with a busy physician or a hospital administrator or something like that?
Well, for me, it's really hard to get directly to the doctors unless I just go with all my friends when they have medical appointments, which I've done.
Interesting strategy. You should put that in a sales book, right?
I can get in there. I used to take my boyfriend all the time. He's like, I now know what you're doing. And that's when I was selling systems, EHRs. So I've been published on MagMutual's website. They're one of the biggest or largest providers here in Georgia for malpractice. So there's 19,000 physicians, and we're hoping that they read the newsletters published. So that's one way of educating them. I'm trying to join some organizations that focused on physicians. I've done guest speaking at a lot of the office managers' meetings, and the last one I did was the Atlanta MGMA, and the word I got was that they enjoyed our presentation. It was one of the best they'd seen in years. But it was very educational, digging deep into the rules and the legal requirements.
So is that a big part of this, that the doctors don't even know what they don't know? Like it's too overwhelming for them?
They don't know what they don't know. You're absolutely correct. It's kind of sad because they're the ones that's liable. I mean, even under the testing for meaningful use, if I'm working with a consultant that I feel is guiding me down the right path and meaningful use requires that I do 15 certain items, maybe 15 blood pressure checks. I don't know what all the requirements are. And I only do 13, but I can fudge. You really shouldn't, because those can be audited and all the stimulus money comes back, plus you've committed fraud. 10% of all providers will be audited under meaningful use. So if you look out your window and see 100 providers, 10%, and if you look out and see more than that, there's a lot of people that are going to be audited. So my mission really has to been saved, to save my physicians from the miscommunications that are available.
Now, the physicians were able to kind of tap into the stimulus funds in order to help fund the electronic health records. Is that right?
That's correct.
So that's why, and then once they take that money, now they're on the hook for these regulations. Is that how it works?
When they attested, they were on the hooks to meet all the requirements plus the core item 15 for the risk assessment for stage one. Now the omnibus has moved in effective this year, totally going into effect in September, on September 23rd for the new agreements and making them liable for their business associates, and then the down path of a covered entity. That means they have to have new business associate agreements. They should never accept a business associate agreement from their business associate, because he's probably not trying to cover them.
Imagine that.
There is a business associate agreement that's on the CMS website. I can get y'all a link for that also. It's got many elements in it that you may want to review with a lawyer, because not all those elements are going to apply to certain types of business associates that you have. But your IT company could be a business associate. Your consulting company could be a business associate. There's just numerous things that have to – anybody having PHI, patient health information.
So it sounds like that, you know, when you engage with a client and they're about to get on board on this, it's not that you have to deal with just one person, right? It's the whole staff kind of have to be educated about this as well, because it sounds so complex.
The staff's supposed to have been being trained every year for many years, but a lot of them have not been trained. But with all the new elements in place, there's policies and procedures, and I think there's 12 of those that have to be implemented that are new. So you want to put your policies and procedures in place, and then you have to train. So if I have an employee that's Susie that works the front desk, and she works maybe for an infectious disease or some type of specific specialty type practice, and you know, somebody famous comes in and I put that out on Facebook, I'm going to go to jail if I've had training and did that anyway. You know, so when I do training, the first thing I do is tell the employees, you can go to jail for taking information or sharing information outside these doors. And you want to be careful when you're in the doors not to let people hear you talking. But if the covered entity, the practice or the hospital, didn't train that person,
then maybe they're going to jail.
No, they're going to pay a fine, right? Because they, you know, so they're liable, you know. So
right.
There's a lot of liability. And so a lot of doctors, I hate to say, are looking at the liabilities and closing their doors or going in under hospitals. So we as the patients are losing some of that flexibility where we could choose where we would go. And eventually, you know, if they continue to close their doors, then we might have to wait a month to get a shot that
Ouch.
We need today.
So in my mind, there's compliance and there's security, and I'm not sure they always match up to be exactly the same thing. And if that's the case as a patient, I'm really more interested in security, I think. Are there questions that I should ask or things that I should look for as a patient to ensure that my interests are being protected when I'm at a doctor's office, for example?
Okay, so they have a notice of privacy piece of paper.
I always sign that. I never look at it. I know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm glad that they actually gave you one. They have to now update those, because they now there's new rules within those. So those have got to be updated. As they're changed, they have to be updated. They have to be prominently posted in the office. I bet if you've been into offices lately, you haven't seen them on the walls. They've taken them down. I think they didn't match the decor. But it really is in the law to have them posted. So they've got some major changes to make before September as they implement the changes, you know, to notify the patient of their rights.
Look for that sheet and make sure that we should see that in our little packet of all that crap you have to fill out while you're waiting.
Yeah, but read it, because do you really want them selling your information? And if you find out they sold your information to maybe a brain surgeon or somebody that wanted to.
No, I don't.
So,
and I don't want them stealing my information and getting a hip replacement on my nickel either, like you were talking about earlier.
Well, that's the theft of identity theft, you know, coming in. So you have.
Right.
So you have security and you can have compliance. You can be 100% compliant by completing all the rules required. There is no one, not even you, that are ever going to be 100% secure because we've got the hackers out there, you know, and we've got the internet. And the internet really wasn't built to be, you know, an enterprise-type solution. It was built for a single user to go out and look up information. Mm-hmm. So it's a system that can easily be hacked. And so that's why you can't be 100% secure. There's always going to be somebody smarter figuring out their way around.
Now, these rules are so complex, I would think, that, to illustrate this, like, say a woman is at her OBGYN and she has her mother-in-law with her, right?
That's correct.
And then, so they're there, and then, you know, they bring in the folder with all of her health information, right, for the checkup. And then, say, the nurse takes the woman out of the office and leaves a folder with the mother-in-law sitting there. That's a violation, right? That folder can't just be left with somebody.
Oh, she would never look in that folder. Not any right? mother-in-law I've ever met.
But isn't that accurate? Something as simple and as seemingly innocent like that is not.
Well, if the mother gave it to the daughter-in-law, then she put it in her possession.
If the nurse brings in the folder with her health records, right, to the appointment, which happens, right, the folder kind of follows the doctor and the nurse. Right?
No, she should have. If she didn't give it to the daughter-in-law, it needs to follow her. And
right, she has
possession.
To leave with it, right?
Yeah.
She can't just leave it there with somebody that's not the patient.
That's correct.
So, I mean, there's just so many things that can happen seemingly innocently that can leave you open for a problem.
Well, let's say that you have a drug rep that comes in and they accidentally see Deborah Steen sitting in the waiting room. That's okay. I mean, for incidentals like that,
right.
They're not after them. It's for the, you know.
Right, but what if the rep goes into a room where there's a patient?
Well, she's not supposed to be in there.
I know, but what if, you know, it's not impossible to happen?
To go into the patient's room?
Or just walking, but what if she's walking by and the door's open?
That's coincidental, and that's okay.
I don't know. There's a lot of rules.
They're taller than I am. So, yeah, there's a lot of rules, but there's some for every rule, there is some tiny exceptions under HIPAA.
Now, if somebody's working with your firm, what are you doing to help them protect themselves from these kind of, you know, little things becoming big things?
We use the software to run a scan on their system. Now, our scanner is coming down with all the latest vulnerabilities. It runs all the calculations looking through the network. So you're saying, okay, I've got an IT company. Well, even from IT companies that I've met with and I've told them about the scanner, they're like, okay, they're going to know the things we didn't fix. Okay, so I'm like, okay, well, this would be justifiable that you can fix these things because it's coming across showing that that's a problem. And they said, you don't understand. They only gave us so much of a budget, and we told them we could fix it. So the scanners really need to be run. They come back and tell you exactly what's wrong. And again, it's what's appropriate. So maybe you need a $10,000 item to fix something in your office. If you don't have that, you just put it in the budget and tell the system when you're going to fix it. And if let's say you're going to fix it in December and you don't have the money has not come in, and you're a small practice, you can still document when you're going to do it.
So they'll cut you a little slack you're building out a plan to
address the
situation. That's
correct. Yeah. I mean, so there's, you know, not everybody has money to do everything with, but you should, you know, do proper training. So the system is set up so that you can have people log in and have their training classes based on your policies and your procedures and those type of things. So you want your staff trained. The security area for the business associates is the hottest, you know, item right now, is to get those agreements to determine who are my business associates. We talked with one hospital that had like 300 and something contracts, but they knew they had 800 business associates, but they didn't have anything on them. So it's time now to start collecting all that information and getting it organized. And please don't accept a business associate agreement from the business associate. Okay,
that must be really important because she's mentioned
said
that
a couple times.
Okay, yeah. Let's say I go to Dr. Lee and I get billed for consultation about being HIV positive, but he uses an accountant. So the accounting service that he uses is involved in billing me for him consulting me about me being HIV positive. There's some badness in there, right? Or some potential exposure and all that.
They're a BA, business associate, and they need to do their HIPAA risk
assessment. Right, because it's not, I don't want people to know that I'm HIV positive necessarily, right?
So there, if he gave them your patient health information,
right,
you are considered a business associate. You need to do your own risk assessment. They can actually fine you also as the
CPA.
The CPA firm.
If you release that information, you have to do a risk business associates have to do a risk assessment. So now if you look at the market, you know, we're at 140,000. But with time you add business associates into who has to do a risk assessment by
now
September.
You've got to be in millions.
Now it's exponential. Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah, right? You're talking 400,000. So what does that do to the market and what type of vendors does that bring in?
Everybody but radio shows. Radio shows are immune.
Well, it brings in some vendors that are marketing, checklist that if you read their contracts, I mean, it'll specifically say this does not constitute a risk assessment. So before you sign things, you need to read them. Before you believe them, read them.
And so you got to make sure if they're leading with a checklist, you know, you got somebody that may be not up to date with all the rules.
That's correct.
So what's your backstory? How did you get involved in this line of work? Have you always been involved in the medical records or healthcare arena? Or?
I met some people down on the beaches in Boca Raton, and they said, do you want to sell software? And I said, sure. And they said, you know, I was just learning, you know, had been in the computer business, like from the mainframe, so I'm very old. I did key punch cards to talk to the computers.
And see, I know what a key punch card is. Most of our listeners probably don't, but I actually know what you're talking about.
So anyway, they sent me home with a computer, and I called them up, and I said, what's the password? And they said, demo. And I got my first presentation with BRT cancer treatment in Boca Raton, Florida, because my dad had just died from cancer. And I went in. I thought, okay, I figured this out. I could enter a name and address. And then they said, well, how do you post a procedure? I'm like, oh, that's stage two. I'll have to come back. But did real well down there and then brought it back to Atlanta, which is where my home was based. And so I've been in the business since 89, primarily focused on practice management. And then in 2000, moved over to medical records and then got bored with that and stayed with EHR and then moved over more focus into the security side 4 years ago.
So I'm trying to envision a physician or a hospital or anybody saying, no, Deborah, we don't want to do this. They have to do it. They have to do something. And if nothing else, I mean, part of what they're buying is peace of mind so they can practice their craft and not have to worry about this stuff, right?
Well, you would think so, but let's look at Georgia very closely. I mean, our biggest hall of fame is Piedmont Hospital was one of the biggest breaches ever. And that was from a security officer that I think drove by, decided to get on the web, which everybody, from what I understand from salespeople, were told, if you're in that area and you need to get internet access, go to Piedmont. It's wide open. Well, he got into the administrative, and then he was able to access every patient's health information. I think to date it's cost him $18 million. And then we have Emory that lost 318,000 patient records on hard drives. You know, they should have been secured. They waited till the last day to report it, and with the magnitude, you know, they got kind of punished a little bit harder because they should have put that many records. They should have notified the patients as quickly as possible with that magnitude of records floating around. And I actually just did a HIPAA risk assessment for a physician that her identity was stolen from that breach. And now we've got Floyd Medical that just had some major problems. So Georgia's looking really good in that area. You know, so you say why, it's always a money thing. And if you look at the cost of a risk assessment, ours is a software as a service, so it's a yearly thing. You know, a risk assessment is a cycle. So it's something that you're always updating and completing, training, ongoing things going on. So each year you update it. So it's really for about 6 years, and you're talking for just the base system, $9.95. So if they just give up a coffee, you know,
right,
or, you know, maybe five Starbucks, they could, you know, I'm just kidding, they could pay for the systems. It's always about money.
Yeah, but the money, it would seem that if you put in this kind of compliance mechanism, then you can stay on top of it. You don't have that opportunity, because now are you taking some of the liability if they contract with you, because you become a business associate, don't you?
No, I'm not a business associate because I don't touch.
You never see their records.
I don't touch patient health information. I'm only scanning their network for security. I'm doing staff training. I might see a patient come in, but that's a passerby, so I don't even want to touch their records. Thank you, but no thank you. Now, at one time I did, because I would do sample, but most of the time they would mark out the patient's name. But if I was doing presentations on EHR, I'd say, give me one of your sample patients so I know what your notes look like. But as a security company in what I do, now there are a lot of security companies that are actually IT companies. They need to do a risk assessment if they're, you know, fixing files and out there accessing information. So there's a lot of IT companies that are looking at us, and hopefully they'll be rolling it out to their people. But then you've got the covered entities that are, you know, part of the business associates, the subcontractors. For me as a physician, if I were a physician, I'm going to put in my contract that I don't want any subcontractors, because the more people that I allow, I'm responsible for somewhere along the food chain. So that would put the liability, and then you need to review it with your lawyer, but that would put the liability back on the BA, not the CE, the covered entity, the doctor or hospital.
But every lawyer serving a physician's practice, every lawyer team serving a hospital system, I mean, this has got to be top of mind for them, right?
A lawyer might be talking with a doctor about closing his practice, okay?
Right.
But he's not looking at medical records. But if he's looking at maybe malpractice case, he's going to be looking at a patient's health information. So if he is doing that for one patient, do you hear me, Kevin? If he's doing that for one patient, he's got to do a risk assessment because that record's there.
Got it. All right. So what is the best way to learn more about this and stay on top of all this for a physician's practice or a hospital system? Sounds like there's a lot of information out there, but it's an awful lot to wade through.
Well, they need to call me directly.
All right, so you really can be sort of a conduit in a clearinghouse, if you will, for the most pertinent, relevant kind of information.
We share a lot of information. We've got ongoing webinars that we feature that are really drilling down into all the laws and the requirements. They need to find their solution pretty quick and start implementing it. They need to start defining their business associates now, because September is not far.
And September is an important deadline.
Yes, your business associates to have the new contracts.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, if your business associate had a contract that expires in January of 2014, they can keep their old contract. However, if you brought on a new business associate in January or February, they should have the new contracts. So you need to start backtracking. What did I do? But just identifying them is going to be a major ordeal in a lot of situations.
All right. So there's the financial investment, which it sounds to me like is very modest for the software as a service. And then can you just walk us through some of the early stage activities that happen? You come in, have some conversations with us, kind of get the lay of the land, and then help us execute a risk assessment. Just walk us through the process of doing business with Deborah and Acer, if you would.
The thing that I do first is set up the training for their staff, you know, because I want them trained. And the first thing I tell them is you can go to jail. I do about an hour.
That's the way. That's wife's an instructional designer. That's like there's a formal name for that, attention getter step. Sounds like that's a good one.
Yeah, well, it's scary. Okay, so I start out with the training, and we do have it online. So based on what they need to be deciding what policies and procedures are going to have in place. We need to scan. Now this is an additional option. We need to scan their network to see what's not done and what needs to be done. And then we start implementing things within the system. We do a hand-holding approach through the risk assessment, and then we also check back with them quarterly to help them update. When you're looking at the medical offices, I do feel sorry for the office managers because they have so many changes right now. They're in the process of, you know, stage two or stage one on the meaningful use. They've got to get all those records together. They now have ICD-10 that comes out in 2014, so that will take a one code, and they need to be working on that also. It'll take one code and make it anywhere from 4 to 10 codes for the doctor.
Oh, what fun.
So, I mean, they're in overload, a lot of them, and this is just being pushed to the side, but it financially should be at the top of their agenda.
Good stuff. Now, if somebody wants to learn more on the website, your website, I believe there's a lot of information there, right? There's white papers and there's a lot of good information just by going to your website.
That's correct. And if you need additional information, I've got PowerPoints that walk you through everything that's needed. I'll be glad to hold your hand and take you through it. I'm not a pushy salesperson, but I would like your sale.
What's the website?
It's Acer2.com.
It's Acer2Solutions.com?
Yeah, that's it.
And it's
and Acer's
ACR, the number 2Solutions.com.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show, Deborah.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I thought it was going to be hard, but you guys were very nice. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next week on Results Matter.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.